current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Good afternoon and welcome in to Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy and the world's news for Friday, June 19th, 2020. I'm your host, Greg Hilt. On the other side of the glass is Pastor Mark Kirk, our senior pastor here at Calvary Knoxville, here to help us understand what God's Word is saying about the times that we're living in, which the Bible refers to as the latter days.
That's right.
And I would say, since we've been doing this program, we are probably in the largest, if we want to call it a contraction. I don't know what you call this in terms of the whole birth pangs.
Yeah, contraction.
But this is like, is this like, honey, we need to get to the hospital, like my water's broke? Where do you think that we're at in all of that?
This,
or is it really just too hard to tell?
Well, it is, but this is one of the biggest, Greg, where everything at one time. We see individual things kind of rise up, but we're in one where you're seeing everything at once in a big way. So I definitely think we are closer and closer. We're getting closer to the real deal. So I don't know. I think we always need to have the luggage ready.
Yeah.
You know, that's right. So, but really, actually, we don't take any luggage with us,
that's right?
For the kingdom.
Right.
But you, you get the point.
We get the point.
We're getting close.
We're getting close.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you're getting close to listening to episode 130 on the podcast. We will push this out later this afternoon so you can share this show with a friend or listen to it again in case you miss something or don't have time to listen to the whole program today. Now, Pastor Mark, you and I are over the age of 50, and this is a sobering statistic.
You had to tell him.
I had to tell him.
Yep.
The average American over 50 will have spent how long waiting in lines?
Oh, my goodness. I bet, 30,000 hours.
5 years.
5 years. Well, I can't figure out what that'd be in hours, but either way, go ahead. I'll figure it up. You go ahead.
You figure it out. Yeah, you get out your calculator on that. And I thought this was interesting, too. The honeybee has to travel an average of 43,000 miles to collect enough nectar to make a pound of honey.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
That is amazing. Anyway, so when you buy your honey at the grocery store, remember, lots of bees work very hard to bring you that honey.
Yeah.
While you were waiting for 5 years for the honey in your lines.
There you go.
There you go.
You've got mail.
Pastor Mark, we've got a couple of questions, actually, from listeners. This first one, if you would like to send us your prophecy question, you can do that on Facebook at Prophecy Help, as Jonathan did here. And Jonathan has said, much of my life, I have been one who has professed Christ. The last 3 years, Jesus removed some scales from my eyes, and I've become a much closer follower of him. While I'm not the man I used to be, I'm not the man I would like to be to honor him. I still struggle with this flesh and with sins that I know are wrong, but do them anyway. Reminds me of Romans 7 and Paul there.
Right.
If we are a new creature in Jesus, which I know without a doubt I am, why do I still struggle with these things?
Yeah.
Why does the flesh work so hard to defeat me, and how can I overcome it? I love your show and what you do, praying for you all. God bless and thank you. So thank you for that, Jonathan.
Yeah.
So what do you say, Pastor Mark? I mean, welcome to the club.
Well, it's such a great question. Yeah. I want to hit it a couple of ways. First of all, explain it from a theological position as to why he's experiencing what he's experiencing and how we all experience that to some degree, and then give some practical steps to have victory in that.
Okay.
So I want to also give that kind of, here's how you can and have hope in that as well. Let me just say this. First of all, Jonathan, great question. And we all struggle with things we know we shouldn't do. And sometimes we do things we shouldn't do. And we wonder, well, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm born again. The Bible says all the old passes away. All things become new. Why am I dealing with this? Here's how this works. We do become a new creation. The Bible says we're born in sin and we're apart from God, the Spirit's dead. When we're born again, the Spirit comes alive, and now we're a new creation in Christ. Our Spirit's alive, so we're a spiritual being again in that sense of eternity with God. The problem is the old nature still exists. When we get born again in these bodies in this world, the old nature is not done away with. The old nature will be done away with in heaven. When we leave these bodies and go to the kingdom, the old nature is done away with, and we're not going to have this struggle anymore. You're not going to be in heaven going, oh, I've got this temptation to do something that's wrong, because the temptation won't even be there because you don't have that nature that even wants that. But here's how it works. You have the old nature that wants sin. Now you have the new nature that doesn't want sin, and the two constantly fight each other. And Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 8 when he talks about the thing I want to do, I don't do. The thing I do,
I
don't.
Oh, I thought that was 7.
At the end of 7 leading into 8. The reason I said 8, it's the end of 7, but leading into 8, he gives the answer. He says, but praise the Lord for Jesus Christ. But yes, at the end of chapter 7, is correct on that. And what he's saying is, I've got these fleshly desires that are in me that make me do things I don't want to do. I don't want to do that, but I'm doing it. What we have is the old nature, the sin nature we are all born with, and now the new nature has moved in. Think about like the Odd Couple. When they moved in together, it's not like the old nature died. He didn't die. He still lives there in the apartment. But now the new nature's there. You got Oscar and Felix.
Yes.
And Oscar's making a mess of things, and Felix is straightening stuff out.
Yes.
Those of you that know the Odd Couple show from years ago. So
you're over 50 reference.
Yes. So that's where the battle comes in. You still have the sin nature. That hasn't gone away. You're just trying now to live by the spiritual nature, the righteous nature. So now that we understand it theologically, what do we do? And this is where the practical comes in. The reason I can share this, I think all of us that have been through this can, because I've been there, and I still have struggles in my flesh, but I've seen the victory and freedom in Christ as I've walked with Christ in these things. And the best analogy I've ever heard is it's like two dogs that live inside of you. The one that you feed the most is the one that's going to end up winning. If you feed the flesh, it's going to be the one that overwhelms the new nature. If you feed the new nature, it's going to overwhelm the old nature and have victory in that fight, so to speak. And so what you have to do is make sure you're spending more time in the word and prayer and the things of God than you are in the things of the world. And as you do that, you begin to get stronger and stronger in the things of the Spirit. The world gets less and less as time goes on. And you'll have victory. So make sure you're feeding the things of the Spirit in word and in prayer and in fellowship, and denying the things of the flesh that feed that sinful nature, whether it's shows you watch, things you read, anything that'll feed that fleshly nature, begin to deny it and then feed the things that are going to overcome and overwhelm it. At the same time, so that's step one to victory. At the same time, do the same thing that Joseph did with Potiphar's wife. And that is the next principle I want to share. You flee from sexual or from really any temptation.
Any temptation.
In Joseph's situation, it was a sexual temptation. But any temptation, you flee from it. So as you're feeding the Spirit and you're pouring into the Spirit, denying the flesh, there's step one. Then the temptations come. What do? I remember as a young believer being there in my apartment, being all alone, and the temptation coming upon me for some type of sin. And what I would do is I would do the very same thing Joseph did. When Joseph got cornered by Potiphar's wife and she would not let this thing go, I want you to go to bed with me.
Yeah.
He was a young man. She was very obviously very attractive and beautiful, or the Bible wouldn't have used it as an example of temptation.
Yeah.
What did he do? He took off running. He got out of there. The Bible says with every temptation, God will give a way of escape. Now, he had to be radical. He had to run out away from his master's wife, and she grabbed his outer garment, and he basically ran across the yards of Egypt in his underwear. But he would rather have done that and be sin-free than to have sinned against God. So the point is this. You feed the things of the Spirit, you deny the things of the flesh, and every time the temptation comes, you run. And as I said, I remember I would be in my apartment, and if temptation came along, just get out of there. Go for a walk. Go do something. Get away and pray. Walk and pray. Walk and pray. Walk and pray. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, the temptation is gone. I feel the peace of God, and I'm able to go back and not sin, and not sin against the Lord. So old nature, make sure you get denying it. Feed the new nature. Do the proper things. Run from temptation. And I promise you, stay faithful to that, Jonathan. Cry out to the Lord. He will give you victory, and you're going to find a new life in Christ through those principles.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, Pastor Mark, our second question, this one comes from Cameron, and Cameron reached out to us on our website at thesigns.org and just asked you a prophecy question in that regard. And by the way, and I just want to mention, too, Jonathan asking just a regular Bible question, we love that as well.
That's right.
So whether it's prophecy or just general stuff about Christian living, like Jonathan did, we encourage you to do that. Okay. Cameron says there seems to be a divide. That's kind of what's going on today. Some churches and leaders, and he's speaking now about the church here, some churches and leaders are outspoken about the times we're living in, and others don't seem to mention anything about it.
Yeah.
Either way, or either they aren't paying attention or seem unconcerned about the topic. Our church, whatever church that he attends here, I'm assuming that's what he's referencing here, our church specifically has not mentioned one thing about it. Obviously, there are many important things to address and lead the church in, but what would you say about the church's steering clear of this subject?
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume he's talking about just the ethnos versus ethnos that we're experiencing.
And
right
I'm going to mention Greg just for kicks two subjects because
okay.
he could have something else in mind
sure.
that we don't know about. We don't know exactly for sure, Cameron, which subject you're talking about here. Is it what's going on with all the black and white issues and the ethnic issues that are happening, or does it have to do with just prophecy in churches as well? Because I think both are legitimate as far as a subject right now that some are avoiding. And let me just say, as far as the black and white issue and what's happening as far as ethnic tensions, there are some churches that I've heard are remaining silent, not saying anything about it. That's why I thought he may be asking that, I think it's the second thing.
Yeah.
But I want to just say this. Because it's better not to get into a controversy. That way you don't get into any trouble. Now, when I say it's better, I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. I think we need to hit this head on. So I would encourage all pastors and all churches to sit down and address the body, the fellowship that God has given you to talk about these ethnic issues from a biblical perspective. Because I do believe that Satan is using this and trying to use it to divide not just society, but the church. So we have to be honest about it, hit it head on and say, look, here's what the Bible says about it, and let's deal with it. So I think if it is the first thing you're asking about, Cameron, I think what's going on here is that it's probably just, rather not deal with the controversy. But I think that's a mistake. I think we need to hit it head on and let the controversy come, because you never solve a problem by ignoring it. Now, that's if it's that. If it's the second part, which is prophetic, which is probably what you meant, since this is a Signs of the Times broadcast, you would be surprised, Cameron, how many pastors know nothing about prophecy. I mean, you'd probably be shocked. I have been shocked, Greg, over the years to speak to other pastors, and they literally know nothing about prophecy. And I'll share prophecy with them. They're like, wow, that's interesting. The Bible says that, huh? Where do you find that? Well, it's Revelation. I really need to look at Revelation. I really should probably read that and look at it. But I've always avoided that book because it's so strange. And I just, my head kind of turns sideways like a dog when that sound comes.
Yeah.
You're looking, how do you avoid any place in God's word? Listen, prophecy makes up a third of the Bible. It's a third of it. If you don't know and study and address prophecy, you are ignoring one third of the Bible. And I always go a step beyond that and say, Jesus is the Bible.
Yeah.
John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14 in John, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So what he's saying is, Jesus is when you read the Bible, you're looking at Jesus on paper, so to speak, not getting mystical, just again from him being the Word, which means if you ignore prophecy, you're ignoring one third of Jesus.
Yeah.
And my question would be is, which third of Jesus do you want to leave out of your life? I want all of Jesus from head to toe. So I would say the first thing I would say is, believe it or not, a lot of pastors, they do not even know prophecy, sadly to say. They don't study it because it scares them. They think it's kind of out there, nanu nanu, whatever you want to say, but they're really missing the boat by ignoring part of Jesus and part of God's word. They're not getting the full counsel. And we focus here at Calvary Chapel on the full counsel. I think another reason you may have people ignore that is some people know what the Bible says prophetically, at least to some degree, if they've been to seminary or they've heard other teachers talk about it. They have general idea, but they don't really buy into it.
Mm.
And so therefore, they kind of just don't really pay much attention to it, and therefore, they don't really mention it.
What about the fear of man?
I definitely think that has a part of it, too. And I'll say the third aspect would really tie into the fear of man, Greg, in the sense of you have a lot of unsaved pastors behind pulpits. Mm. I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination, that your pastor is unsaved. I don't know anything about your church.
Right.
I'm sure he's a super wonderful, godly man. That's not my point. What I'm saying is that another reason, in addition to the first two, that you don't hear prophecy from a lot of pulpits is there are, believe it or not, the Bible talks about Satan has his servants of light, you know, false light in the pulpits, and they don't even know God. I've been to churches like that where they don't know, and the reason you know that is you ask them about Jesus Christ and what they believe. They've got the wrong Jesus, or they don't believe him at all. So if you don't know the Lord, you're not going to be sharing prophetically because you don't understand it, and you don't really even want to promote it because it doesn't make sense. And especially if you don't know the Lord, it can be scary. And what does that mean? And people don't understand. They just don't understand it. And some, I think, don't know the Lord. So I don't know the reason that it's not being addressed at your particular fellowship, Cameron. I can't say that. But I can say this. I believe every church, every pastor has a responsibility to be sharing all of the Bible, which a third of it is prophecy. And if you don't know prophecy, you don't know what's going on. The Lord said, here's your roadmap. Matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It says that in Hebrews. Yeah. So he's the spirit of prophecy. So how important is prophecy of Jesus? If that's his spirit, it reflects who he is. He's a third of the Bible, and he talks about what the future is going to be. I mean, you look at what when the disciples came to him and said in Matthew 24, Lord, tell us what the end is going to be like. He sat down and gave them a seminar. A very detailed seminar about prophecy in the last days. He met with Elijah, it says, and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration talking about end times. So, again,
if it was important for Jesus, it should be important for
us. Yeah. I can't give that answer, but how we need more pastors who know the Word of God prophetically and are sharing it, we need a prophetic voice. I'll say one last thing before we move on. The Bible says that without a prophetic vision, the people perish.
Yeah.
We need a prophetic vision for the people to thrive. And so if there's a church that doesn't have that prophetic vision, you're going to see it's a church that I believe is not really thriving as God has ordained.
Well, we're using a where there's smoke, there's fire analogy, is
right.
a fair statement to say if you're attending a church that isn't addressing the prophecies that are playing themselves out on the world stage right now,
yeah.
what other things is your pastor not sharing with you from God's word for whatever the reason, whether it's the fear of man, maybe your pastor knows the big givers in your church, so he's going to steer clear of these subjects.
There's the fear of man aspect.
There's the fear of man. So there's a whole lot going on there.
There really is. And I would just say this. I believe, Greg, honestly, I'd just say it. A pastor that's not sharing prophetically, it's a malnourished church. It just is. Yeah. I'm going to say it. You've got to have the full counsel of God's word to have everything. I mean, God's word is made up of the meat, the vegetables, the potatoes,
you may like the
steaks better than the green beans, but you need to have them. And then also I'll talk about prophecy. I jokingly call prophecy the chocolate sundae because it's so fun seeing what God's going to do. But really, it not only is it a fun chocolate sundae, it's also great meat because you understand how the world, how God has designed things, what he's doing in the world, what he's going to do. So it is absolutely essential. And we need more and more pastors standing up teaching the word of God prophetically. And like I said, without that prophetic vision, the people are going to, they're going to be weak and ineffective, I believe.
Well, it's fair to say that if you see a church that's operating in fear right now, that's a church that does not understand prophecy.
That's right. There's no reason to be afraid. We need to be informed and we need to be excited and rejoicing because we're right on target. Exactly what the Lord said would happen is happening.
Yeah.
And we talk about it every week here on Signs of the
Absolutely.
Times.
Absolutely. Well, if you tweet on Twitter, you can tweet us your prophecy question at Prophecy Help. If you follow us on Facebook, you can look us up at Prophecy Help there as well. Or you can reach out to us through our website at thesigns.org and send us your prophecy question that way. Okay, Pastor Mark, for the 11 minutes left in this first half. Go ahead and share with what's on your heart about this week's going on.
I do. And right now, I'm watching right now live on Fox News, a briefing from the White House, and they're talking about the coronavirus as well as the other things that are there, whatever. And I want to focus in. They shifted, I think, now to the rally coming up, but I watch the news during the show and kind of keep up with other things at the same time.
You're a prophecy junkie. There's no doubt about that.
Well, yeah, I'd like to see
a news junkie.
Yeah, and what's happening
you
currently
like to,
because it lines up with prophecy. But again, I wanted to just talk for just a moment to the church and our pastors and our those listening that are in the body of Christ, really around the nation. Because I know we do have listeners all around the nation and even around the world now because of internet, which is such a blessing. But talk a little bit about this coronavirus and now the talk about the second wave. You know, some are even saying, well, it's not the second wave. It's still the first wave. And then we have the big second wave coming in the fall. There's this whole big fear thing and this push for it that is starting to rebuild and even talk of a shutdown again and all that, which I don't think people are going to do. I don't think they can handle it. I think, you know, the suicide rate and the depression rate and the other problems that it causes with people not going to doctors for cancer and other things, you probably end up with more deaths than you would than just living life and people dying from the virus.
More collateral damage.
Yeah, so at this point, to me, you've got to move forward. You can't go back into a cloistered shell and put on masks and hide behind walls. We have to move forward. And really, herd immunity is probably going to be the answer. If they do come up with a vaccine, praise the Lord. I know a lot of people won't take it because they're worried about government conspiracies or whatever the case might be. But here's the bottom line. I really believe, and this is now from the signs of the times perspective, and then I'll explain some of the things I'm going to say in more detail. The enemy is really using this. First of all, is the coronavirus real? Yes, it's a real virus. Have people really died from it? Yes, people have really died from it. But what we're seeing now more and more is the numbers are very inflated and the deaths are really way down, I believe, compared to even the numbers that we're seeing, Greg. And now it's gone from a real situation to something that has been hijacked for political purposes. So it's now being used. It's real. It's been hijacked politically. But when I say politically, I'm speaking also prophetically. I'm not just speaking earthly political. I'm talking about, I believe, that Satan has used it and is using it and will continue to try to use it and other things to unite the entire world as one, as the world comes together to solve this problem, set up new standards, new ways of life, the new normal, as they say. And I believe we're watching the transformation of the planet as we know it. And I think this is being used by Satan himself, Greg, in a huge way.
Unity through misery.
However you want to call it, that's what's happening. But the bottom line is I want to, again, just share a couple things about this. You say, well, Mark, what about it, though? Is it not dangerous? Look, for those that are older or weaker, yes, guard yourself. But again, there comes a point where the life that you're living, locked away and unable to really live life, becomes more death than just getting corona. And for me, for example, if I was vulnerable to corona, it's not fair of me to ask the rest of the world to shut down so that I can just kind of, you know, do what I want. No, what needs to happen is I need to take the proper precautions that I need to take and then let the world be the world and live. So I'm the one that needs to take that responsibility on. That's not to be selfish at all. I'm not saying that. We should care about our brothers. We love our brothers and our sisters, and even to laying our life down for them in that sense of what Jesus said. That's true love. But there comes a point where, again, you don't shut the entire world down for your own personal preference. But let me get back now to some of the facts of this, because I think it's going to be used not only to reformulate the world, Greg, but I think it's being used to inhibit the church. And that is to stop the church from being able to meet at the time we need to be meeting and proclaiming more than ever.
Yeah.
We're on the cusp of Jesus Christ coming back in the rapture of the church and then leading into the second coming 7 years or so after that.
Yeah.
More than ever, we need to be proclaiming the gospel. We need to be meeting together. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together of believers, especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching. So it says, as you see the day approaching. I put that in day of the Lord because that's what it's talking about in context. So the point is, we need to be focused on meeting more, not less. We don't need to be meeting by Zoom and all this. We need to be meeting in person. And Satan knows that's where the power is, the church together, praying together, strengthening each other. And I believe there's also a satanic thing going along with the real virus, okay? The virus is real.
Yeah, yeah.
But Satan has gotten involved, politics has gotten involved, and now we've got this mess. And I want to encourage the churches and the pastors to not give in. Listen, be wise, protect your people, make sure you're educated on the numbers because that'll set you free. But don't let Satan deceive you into this being something that it's not. And I'll make this simple point. We've had in the last 6 months or so only 5 deaths in Knox County from COVID-19. Now, that's not good, but we've had, I think, as many or more flu deaths. And so we haven't shut the church down for flu. We haven't shut our world down for flu. Sevierville, where all these people come from all over the nation, it's the number one visited park in the nation. Many people don't know that. They've had 3 in the last 6 months. 3 deaths, less than us. And yet people are all worried about, oh no, all these visitors and what's happening. And so here's the bottom line. You say, but look at all the numbers. Mark, the numbers are going up. Listen, the CDC itself is saying that 99.7 to 99.8, and some now even saying 99.9% of those that get COVID survive. So even if you get it, the odds of dying are extremely low, extremely low. And so, and again, if you're elderly or if you're weaker, I get all that. As far as a lot of the numbers, Greg, we're now finding out that anyone that died of pretty much anything in the hospital, if they had COVID at the time of their death, they put it down as a COVID death. It might have been cancer. It might have been anything else. And but it's listed as COVID because we now know that hospitals get a larger grant for every confirmed COVID death that happens. So it's to the advantage of the hospitals to list it as a COVID death. So I believe personally the numbers are greatly inflated, even on the death rate.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something else that shows this has become very political. It's now been classified in the same viral category as a flu, a cold, whatever else, a yearly cycling event. Okay, now that it's been classified that, they say it's going to come back on a regular basis. We're going to have this forever, right? And that's why they want to get the vaccine and all that. However, note this. The flu has a yearly cycle that resets. It runs probably somewhere from like October to about March. It's about a six-month recycling. And so what happens is they count all the numbers up. Once it cycles that season, you hit the reset button. It starts over at zero, and then it starts recalculating for the next year. They've done that with the flu. The flu has now been reset. We're back at zero. Now we're going to recycle to the new things coming up for this coming year. They didn't do that with COVID-19. Now, isn't that interesting? How come it has not been reset to zero? Where was the reset button at the end of March to say, all right, well, we had 80,000 that died this year from COVID. Now we're back at zero. We've had another 20,000 or 30,000 or however many, you know, this. They're not doing that because, again, politically, it shows a greater number. It causes greater fear. It gives greater control for the government to come in and say, look, we still got this massive problem. You need to do X, Y, and Z.
Exactly, yeah.
But I just want to remind our listeners, you have a 99.7 point something and a 99.8 and even 99.9 by some estimates now as the new numbers come in. Of survival.
Survivability rate.
Yes, yeah. Even if you get it.
Yeah.
That's not a reason to shut the world down.
Yeah.
And it's not a reason to shut the church down. But Satan is using this, and it's also being used politically in the same way. So I guess what I'm saying is, as we wrap up this first half, look, just get the facts. Go to the Knox County statistics page. You're going to see five people still have died. You'll see maybe three or four hospitalized. It's very, very minute in our area, and if you look at the overall numbers nationally and even worldwide, it's turning out to be nothing compared to what we thought it was going to be. Now, I don't want to say that I'm not taking it seriously.
Right.
We take it seriously. It can be deadly for the wrong person. Please understand that. But at the same time, I believe it's now being used satanically to unite the world and to hold back the church from meeting, and I also think it's being used politically to move forward an agenda that gives the government more power over the church and others as well. So let's just have our spiritual glasses on. Let's be wise. Go to the pages, look at the numbers for yourself, and you'll determine, look, this is not something to freak out about. Everybody relax. We know a lot more about it now.
Yeah.
And it's time to live life. It is time to live life.
When Jesus is talking about the variety of things that are going to be happening in the latter days in Matthew 24 and plagues and things like that,
right.
And earthquakes, all of that he's talking about.
Right.
He, in the language, is it not speaking in plurality? He's not talking about singular events,
right?
Which means that COVID-19 is just one of many, and that we've already had SARS, avian bird flu, on and on.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't going to be the last one. There will probably be more.
There will be. Yeah.
The language tells us that.
Yeah. And you'll see it. But again, you'll see at the same time, the increase of it happening with earthquakes, with wars and rumors of wars, all these things happening even now. So we need to be aware of that. We also need to be wise. We need to be smart. I'm not saying be foolish. I'm not saying write everything off to a political agenda. I'm not saying write everything off to satanic attack. I'm saying include satanic attack in your mindset, include political agenda in your mindset, and look at the facts and look at the Word of God and say, all right, what's going on? And the bottom line is, when you get down to brass tacks, this is not a super deadly, as far as those who get it percentage-wise. It may be stronger for those who get it and are vulnerable, and I get that.
And they need the pre-existing
conditions. And they need to protect themselves. But it is not something that needs to any longer shut down our nation, shut down our churches, and shut down our world. Listen, It's time to get out there and live life and preach the gospel. And this whole second wave thing, be warned, I think it's going to be used hugely as a political agenda, and I think even a demonic agenda in the last days.
Well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, even though that's playing out. We're dealing with a true spiritual battle going on right before us. All right, thank you, Pastor Mark. Folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, we've got lots of articles to get to as Signs of the Times continues on WIAM. We'll be right back after this.
WIAMLP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
It's Crazy Money Day. One Indiana man was shocked to find millions of dollars in his bank account. Hi, I'm Chuck Bentley with My Money Life from Crown. In April, a volunteer fireman withdrew $200 from an ATM machine. He was stunned to find his balance reading at $8.2 million. He expected a stimulus check deposit, but not one that big. It was an ATM printing error. In an interview, he said, "You go from being a millionaire one second, then back to being broke again. But hey, once you're poor, you don't have anywhere else to go but up." Now, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, then set some financial goals to improve your finances so you can step back from the financial cliff. Baby steps taken day after day can make a big difference. It's a matter of making wise choices with your dollars. If you have no margin and you want to gain financial control, recognize that impulse shopping is a budget buster. Make a list of what you need to survive, literally to survive. Pay the essential bills, food, shelter, and some form of transportation. Go on a dollar diet, saving a dollar every possible way. Basic changes in grocery purchases and food prep can save you hundreds every month. For example, instead of buying pre-made meals, cook your own. It takes time, but it can prevent eviction or foreclosure. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Work diligently, and one day you'll be pleasantly surprised at the balance that really shows up on your ATM receipt. Now, people are learning to save with the Eli app. It's a tool that helps you set aside money you can afford to save. This tool will encourage you to reach your saving goals. You can download it right now at crown.org. That's crown.org.
A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
It's always a humbling thing to get a clear vision of God. We experience His power and His presence. You know, when you get a clear vision of God, when the Word of God has truly done its work, the result will not be pride, and it will not be arrogance, and it will not be boasting and bragging. The response will always be humility and brokenness. And God, You're so good to me. You're so gracious to me. You have been so faithful. And I see myself in light of You, God, and You deserve all of my worship.
You can learn more at edtaylor.org. Grow deeper in your love relationship with Jesus by visiting edtaylor.org. This has been A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy and the world's news. Today is Friday, June 19th, 2020, but you could be listening to podcast episode 130, whether it's on Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher sometime during the week. Either way, we thank you for taking the time to listen to our program and what the news is saying, and more importantly, what God's Word has to say about the news. All right, Pastor Mark, let's go to Israel as we do most weeks on this program. Since Israel is the apple of God's eye from a prophetic standpoint, the first article is from IsraelNationalNews.com, dated June 15th. The Secretary General of the PLO is saying that annexation will destroy any chance of peace. My question is, when did the PLO even want peace?
Yeah, the whole thing. They've never wanted peace.
Okay.
Just
want to make sure I understood.
No, they want Israel and the Jews destroyed. But listen what it says. The official says that if Israel applies sovereignty over 1 inch of Judea and Samaria, it will be the destruction of the Palestinian authority. Eric Katz, Secretary General and Executive Committee of the Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, a lifelong enemy of Israel, said on Sunday that an application of sovereignty over even 1 inch of occupied Palestine territory by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu means the extermination of any chance of peace in the region. If Netanyahu goes ahead with the annexation of the apartheid, look at this, how he pulls race into this. Everybody knows that if you pull the race card, it works.
Yes.
Then he must ally himself with American racist extremists like the Ku Klux Klan and must be ready to assume all his responsibilities as an occupying power, said Eric Katz, who spoke during a virtual meeting of Israeli and foreign journalists and quoted by the WAFC agency or the WAFA news agency.
Yes.
An annexation means the destruction of the Palestinian Authority, and this will be the end of a solution through the negotiations, he threatened. The Israelis do not like the facts and believe that denying the facts denies their existence. The Israelis must realize that annexation means apartheid and racism. He keeps bringing these hot-button issues up to get people more emotional about it. The PA officials are outraged over the coalition agreement between Netanyahu and the defense minister, Benny Gantz, which stipulates that the government can apply sovereignty over Judea and Samaria in July. That's what this is about. In response to the planned move, the chairman, Mahmoud Abbas, announced last month that the PA would no longer be bound to any agreements with Israel. The PA has also taken its battle against the sovereignty plan of the United Nations, seeking official condemnation by the international body against the Jewish state. On Friday, it announced that it will start issuing personal documents for Palestinian Arabs without having the papers validated by Israel in the past. Now, for our listeners who may not know what's going on, I don't want to assume that everybody knows everything. Again, there's a huge tract of land now that Israel's about to say is ours. It's already, God gave it to them a long time ago, but it's not been classified as Israeli territory. And it's there in the Jordan Valley in that region there. On July 1st, they're going to be starting to annex and pull that into part of Israel. And of course, the people around them and those who hate Israel don't want them to have even what they have, much less more land. So they're saying, if you do this, you know, it could be war. We're not going to work with you. Everybody's going to hate you. It's going to be bad, whatever. So they're getting a lot of attacks and opposition about doing this. And I'm even wondering now, Greg, if it'll really happen. There's going to be a huge spiritual opposition to this as well.
Yeah.
And I'm anxious to see, even though the plans are to annex at least some, it's already kind of being drawn back now, I think, but to annex some starting July 1st, I'm anxious to see if it's really going to go through and they're really going to be able to annex anything when this happens. Because although they say, we're not going to work with you if you do this, they're not working with Israel now, and they'll never work with Israel. They want them completely gone and completely dead. I say, Israel, move forward. Go for it. God gave you the land. Annex it. I'm excited. I hope they do it.
Well, this next story, Pastor Mark, that has to do with this whole issue of annexation really highlights the fact that there's two other prophecies that come into play through annexation, if this really does happen.
Yeah.
First of it, one world government, which is what this article is really about. And the second is Ezekiel 38 and 39. So this next article from Israel National News, dated June 17th, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has said that Israeli sovereignty would be a breach of international law.
Yeah. And this is where, if you can't stop it locally, the enemy will go international.
And there's your one world government comes
into
play.
Absolutely. And remember, the whole world, it says, will turn against Israel in the last days. So this
Another prophecy goes
right in line with it. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said on Tuesday that an Israeli move to apply sovereignty over parts of, again, you just read that. I'm going to repeat the same thing. Part of the breach of international law. But Johnson, who was quoted by Haaretz, stressed that his government strongly objects to the sovereignty move and will work to make the case for a two-state solution for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Last month, the chairwoman of the International Relations and Defense Committee in Britain's House of Lords questioned whether Israel should continue to receive preferential access to the British market if the sovereignty plan goes through. Last month, Britain's junior foreign officer, Minister James Cleverly, said that Britain would not support an Israeli move to apply sovereignty over parts of Judea and Samaria. You know, Greg, it's interesting. Britain opposed the Jews when they went back into the land after wanting to reestablish in 1948, and they went down as a nation and have never, ever come back up in power. God dealt with them, and I believe judged them. Here they go again. Don't they learn? It'd be interesting to see what happens with this. Yeah. The European Union has also expressed an objection to the coalition agreement between Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Defense Minister Benny Gantz. That doesn't surprise me. Which stipulates that the government can apply sovereignty over Judea and Samaria as early as July 1st. The European Union reiterates that any annexation would constitute a serious violation of international law. The European Union will continue to closely monitor the situation and its broader implications and will act accordingly, as he said. Now, Greg, we know the Antichrist is going to unite the whole world and eventually against Israel. So you see the spirit of Antichrist working against Israel. It doesn't surprise me that Europe would be fighting against Israel or that Britain or anyone else would be. What surprises me is anybody standing with them, which we're doing right now. And, of course, the Antichrist will come on the scene. He's going to make a deal with Israel and their surrounding neighbors that everybody's going to finally agree with, at least for a temporary amount of time. So that's coming. We know that's on the way. But this is the spirit of Antichrist. This is the spirit of the enemy working here, trying to turn hearts and minds away from Israel. And, again, any territory that God, that believers or even his even if they're not believers yet, future believers in the nation of Israel, any inch of territory that they begin to take, Satan is going to try his best to stop it. Yeah. In our life as believers or the nation of Israel moving forward in what God promised them. So we're seeing, again, a galactic battle, a spiritual battle here going on. Shouldn't surprise us, but be aware of it.
Well, before we have that peace treaty, we've got to have Ezekiel 38 and 39.
That's right.
And this story here, Pastor Mark, from Breaking Israel News, dated June 8th, this is really interesting. Because Egypt is now coming into play in this story, and this says Egyptian tank platoons amass on Libya border, readying to challenge. Now, we talked in a previous program about Russia sending fighter jets to Libya.
Yeah.
We know Libya is one of the countries listed in Ezekiel that will come under the wings of Iran and Russia in this attempted invasion of Israel.
Right.
So now Libya is now a bigger player, and now Egypt is now involved.
Well, again, Libya is linking up with Turkey and all these other people, Russia, as you said.
Yes.
And what's happening is Egypt's noticing that, and Egypt's saying, hey, we've got a problem, Houston. Something's going on here, and we don't want these guys on our border causing problems with us. A journalist with the BBC has documented Egyptian M1A2 Abrams tank companies being deployed to the border with Libya. Babak Taghavi released footage of the tank deployment in a recent tweet on Sunday saying, Egyptian army is now ready for war in Libya. The video recorded minutes ago shows the 18 M1A2 Abrams main battle tanks of Egypt of the Egyptian army at the border with Libya, ready to enter the country to be used against Turkish-backed GNAs, Islamist militias and Syrian mercenaries. So they're seeing the threat here from Iran. Remember, in Egypt, you've got the Sunnis, which is a different group of the Muslims, if you will, of the Muslim faith. And you got the Shiites, which is a different. And the Shiites and the Sunnis, these guys fight. They don't get along. And now you've got the Shiites, really the Iran-backed, now moving into Libya on the border of the Sunnis. So they're like, wait a minute, we got our enemies amassing near us. We're going to show some force here. And the ongoing Turkish presence in Libya places Ankara at loggerheads with Egypt, who fears that the Turkish military intervention in Tripoli will result in terrorists from the Muslim Brotherhood harassing Cairo from the border of Sudan. Turkey has entered Libya under the guise of protecting its current government against a coup from warlord and Libyan National Army commander Khalifa Belkacem Haftar. Although Egypt hasn't publicly supported Haftar, it is clear that the mercenaries and terrorists that Turkey has deployed into Libya and is making Cairo uneasy. So you get a little bit too close to home is what he's saying here. You got the two different groups now opposing each other. Egypt is showing some force here to guard themselves. And Greg, it's a good point to bring something else up about Turkey. Turkey, really, their goal is to take over the entire, they want to rule the Middle East. Turkey wants to get this whole thing. They want to be ruler. He wants to be the sultan. He wants to be over everything, ruling and reigning over all things. And he's moving. He's expanding down into Tripoli and all these other areas. But the reason he's expanding, we know, is because these are going to be the countries that are joined together to come against Israel in Ezekiel 38 and 39. So we're watching something happened biblically, and we're also watching God use this, I guess, power grab, power hungry leader of Turkey wanting to do the same thing and use it that way. So again, keep your eye on that. Very, very, very interesting what's going on. And again, right in line with Ezekiel 38 and 39, watching the forces of Turkey, Russia, and Iran all linking together, Libya as well being pulled into that, and then also lastly of the five main players that are going to come against Israel, Sudan. So they're all going to be joined together eventually.
Okay.
You may be a businessman.
Okay, One World Government News. We've got a couple of articles here. The first one is from MSN.com. NATO chief warns that Beijing is nearing the West in multiple ways. Otherwise, this article is titled, The Chinese Are Coming. Pastor Mark, is China mentioned in anything? That doesn't mean that they're not, just because they're not mentioned necessarily, doesn't mean that they're not involved in end times prophecy. I mean, the whole world is essentially going to be involved in end times prophecy. The Bible says that. But do you see China standing out in naming, you know, ancient names, anything like that?
China is a big enigma, actually, Greg, prophetically. And I will say that many believe that when it speaks of the region of sin, and there's no pun intended there, the
and
Bible
spelled
speaks of
S-I-N?
S-I-N.
Interesting.
They believe indeed could represent China.
Okay.
Which is very descriptive in a number of ways.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that we don't know, it's not mentioned, but you're watching China rise. And I have to believe, unless there's some major catastrophic annihilation of China, and maybe America at the same time or something in the last days, that China's going to have to somehow play a pretty big role in this whole process. So it really is an enigma. You know, we don't see America mentioned. Where's America? We don't know. Some say they might be there. Some say they may not, but it's certainly not obvious. We don't see China mentioned. Some say they're there. Some say maybe not, but it's not that obvious. And both of these right now are the two biggest players in the world. America's the number one economic leader and power of the world. China's number two. So you've got the two major players of the world not really easily nailed down and identified prophetically in the last days. I find that intriguing, somewhat troubling maybe, not even understanding what's going on. But, Greg, they're on the rise. And if America doesn't continue to move forward and we continue to contract, you know, retract rather, down to smaller, they're going to take over and they're going to be the world power. Speaking to BBC Radio on Wednesday, Stoltenberg and said Beijing was creeping closer to the West in multiple ways through cyberspace, telecommunications, critical infrastructure, and in Arctic exploration. And I quote, "We cannot ignore the consequences of the rise of China." I agree. China will soon have the biggest economy in the world. They already have the second largest defense budget. The head of the Western Military Alliance also added that it was important that Britain reviewed the role of Chinese tech giant Huawei and its 5G network to guarantee its security, noting that he trusts that the UK government will design its 5G networks in a way that ensures they will remain protected and secure. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been heavily criticized over a decision to allow Huawei to help build Britain's 5G network. Stoltenberg noted that Beijing is investing heavily in modern military capabilities and has added 80 ships to its navy in just the past 5 years, which is equal to the total number of ships belonging to the UK's Royal Navy. They've added as many in the past 5 years as
this Britain has altogether.
Yes.
Wow.
And I quote, "China's becoming a more and more important military power, and we have to address that," he said, noting that NATO must ensure it remains a strong force in the future as it faces a shift in global balance of power. I will say one last thing about this. And again, the reason you say, well, then why do we have this in the Signs of the Times articles? There's a number of reasons. One is wars and rumors of wars, regardless of who it is. But also it speaks of a 200 million man army coming from that region or that somewhere that direction where China is.
At the end of the 7 year.
Yeah, coming toward Israel there at the end and all. And so some people believe that that will be China's army, and they're that massive and that great, and they're included there, you know, coming toward them. So we don't know, but either way, something's going on with China. Keep your eyes on it, and we'll just say, all right, Lord, until further notice, we'll wait till you tell us.
The United Nations has revealed their latest plan on a one world order. We know that the UN is going to be part of that one world government structure, so it only makes sense that they reveal another plan.
You know, Greg, we've been talking about, and the UN and others have been talking about the new world order for so long that almost seems
since
normal.
The 1950s,
it almost
really.
Seems normal now. It's like a new, you know, but really we have to realize this is a prophetic event
that
God says is going to happen. That we need to look, it's happening. So don't go to sleep on this because you're used to hearing the terminology. An online forum for International Environmental Initiative held last week may have been a thinly disguised arm of a huge plan by the Chinese government, here they are again, to dominate the world. As absurd as this sounds, many UN organizations have already been incorporated into this project, and the UN is not shy, having already announced its dedication to a new world order. Now look what they're tying in, Greg. We talked about how this coronavirus is being used, but there's something else that's being used. This whole environmental movement is also being used to unite the world.
Oh, yeah.
The Act for Nature Online Global Forum was held last week, June 7th through 10th, as a precursor to the fifth session of the UN Environment Assembly, which will be held in Nairobi in February 2021. At their last meeting in Nairobi in March 2019, the Environment Assembly presented a set of resolutions, which included an explicit call for a new world order by the UN Environment's Acting Executive Director, Joyce Msuya, as part of the UN's ecological program. And I quote, "If countries deliver on all that was agreed here and implement the resolutions, we could take a big step toward a new world order where we no longer grow at the expense of nature, but instead see a people and planet that thrive together." Notice this whole thing, protect the planet, protect this. We've talked about, again, how the world would be united. I think the environmental causes are going to be another way, virus-type things, but the environmental cause. And remember, the Bible says also, as people turn away from God, they worship nature. So we're seeing a world turning from God, turning more toward nature, Satan using all these things to unite. You watch this whole thing. As a believer, it's so easy to see. With the world, they have no clue. The program, an offshoot of the Paris Climate Agreement of 2016, which was absolutely a move of the enemy, includes utilizing technology and finance, bringing together politicians and business leaders. The OBOR, or O-B-O-R, initiative is a global development strategy adopted by the Chinese government in 2013. By the way, the same year that this whole movement, Black Lives Matter, began. That was a big year. Involving infrastructure development and investments in nearly 70 countries and international organizations in Asia, Europe, and Africa. The project is all-encompassing and comprehensive, focused on creating transportation and telecommunication trade infrastructure with the goal of creating a China-based global economy. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
China, you see their tentacles everywhere now, and Greg, environment and these other social issues and pestilence issues all being used to get the world in lockstep.
All right, some growing anti-Semitism news from timesofisrael.com, dated June 11th, World Council of Churches. And by the way, we put this under growing anti-Semitism because we do not consider the World Council of Churches having anything to do with the real church.
Absolutely.
World Council of Churches wants the European Union sanctions on Israel if annexation goes ahead, which could have been folded into the story a few stories ago, but still.
Yeah, let me just say what a deceptive name World Council of Churches is. If there is an evil organization, it is the World Council of Churches. And remember, one of the greatest enemies of true Christianity and one of the greatest enemies of a true follower of Jesus Christ. And might I add, one of the greatest enemies of Jesus when he walked on the earth was the religious crowd. And the World Council of Churches, and I'm going to put this in a different category, the unsaved religious.
Yes.
They were the Sadducees and Pharisees were the unsaved religious of that day. They would have been the World Council of Churches in that day. And today we have the World Council of Churches, many unsaved religious people uniting together to fight against God, against God's people, and against the Jews. And they're being used here again in this whole thing against with anti-Semitism. The World Council of Churches is asking, don't be deceived by a name. Again, the World Council of Churches is asking European diplomats to punish Israel with sanctions if it annexes the West Bank lands. The request has triggered a heated debate in Christian circles. The call to punish Israel came last month in a letter to EU foreign minister from Geneva headquarters of the council, an umbrella body established in 1948 that is now 350 member churches, about 500,000 followers among them, and the Catholic Church is not a member. Isn't this interesting, Greg? This whole thing developed.
The Catholic Church is not a member of that.
No, but it's interesting here because, again, they're Catholic, not churches, so to speak.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me is, did you see when this umbrella body was established?
No.
1948, the year that Israel was established. Did you see what's going on? Look, the enemy, he is, whenever God moves, he moves.
Yep.
Whenever God moves, he moves. He's always right there, and you'd be watching for that.
Amazing.
It's like clockwork.
Yeah.
If Israel annexes land, you know, it's almost like whenever you do something for Israel, the enemy, is like when they came back in the land and Nehemiah tried to build the walls, here comes Sanballat and Tobias. They always are right there. If Israel annexes the land, the letter said, the EU must surely suspend the EU-Israel Association Agreement, a reference to the 1995 contract that promotes trade between the bloc and the Jewish state. In addition, the EU should apply sanctions on Israel's at least commensurate with those adopted by the EU in response to Russia's annexation of Crimea. So treat them the same way you did Russia when they took Crimea, if they try to take land in Israel. Totally different thing. Anyway, it says the unilateral annexation of yet more of the territory that remains to Palestinians cannot lead to justice or peace, but only to greater injustice, the church body said. Well, they're not the church. They have nothing to do with God. And again, the bottom line is God promised Israel a lot more land that's there, and now we see the enemy working through the World Council of Churches because he's the one that heads it up. Pay no attention to those people. They're anti-God.
Well, I don't know what you're going to think about this next article, but this is apostasy comes to mind at the very least. I don't know if this organization, who knows? Anyway, this is from ChristianHeadlines.com. They're speaking about the president and CEO of Christianity Today, who is calling for reparations from churches with regard to the whole ethnos versus ethnos thing, quoting, repentance is not enough.
Yeah, and let me just say, Christianity Today has been going more and more liberal year by year, and they've totally, completely turned over now to where, again, I see Christianity Today in many ways almost
offshoot of the World Council of Churches?
Well, almost being fighting against the church.
Okay.
And against, I don't put a lot of credence in Christianity Today at all as a Christian organization. And I'm not saying there's no believers there. I'm saying they're certainly not standing for true biblical Christianity. But he goes on, the president and CEO of Christianity Today says in the new editorial that churches should consider making biblical restitution to the African Americans for the sins of slavery, segregation, racial injustice, by setting up financial funds to make it right.
And again, so he's speaking like the Old Testament laws in terms of how you would have to, if you did something to your neighbor or whatever, then God prescribed certain things, paybacks and things.
I guess. And I think where they're coming from, they're saying, look, and you hear a lot of people saying, well, you know, you wouldn't have what you have if you hadn't used slaves to get it. That was your workers and you never paid your workforce.
Okay, gotcha.
So I hear that. I hear that to a degree and I hear what's happening. Here's the problem with that. First of all, absolutely. Look, we need to stand with all communities and we need to stand with the black community in any injustice that they face. That's called being a Christian. We love them. And so we need to love them. And if there's anything that needs to be made right, we need to make it right.
Right.
But the problem here with this stuff is that what's happening is that they're asking a generation 150 to 200 years later to make up for generations way beyond who did something they did. We didn't do that. I didn't have slaves.
Right.
I didn't force anybody to work for me and all that. And so they're saying, though, however, you're benefiting from that. You know, again, Greg, if you go back and really look at history, slaves were all over the world at that time. I'm not justifying it. It was horrific. It was wrong. Mankind is wrong. We're evil. We're born sinful. And so mankind in his sin has had slaves throughout history. It's never been right.
The Jews were slaves.
Yes. It's never been right.
Yes.
And it never will be right. It is evil. It is wrong. But the issue is that a generation 150 years later can't make up for something a generation did 150 years before. Every generation, the Bible says, is responsible for their sins and what they've done. And so I think what you're seeing happen is, again, maybe trying to present himself as something to do to try to make up for sins of the past. But you can't make up for sins of our fathers. We have to move forward and do the right thing with the black community and every other community from this day forward. We need to live righteously with every generation. And, you know, if you start doing this kind of thing, then you got to start making reparations to really everybody around the world. I look at what happened with Christians in Rome. We were greatly persecuted. Our belongings were taken from us. We were tortured. So Europe should now repay us a lot of things. And you could march on Europe and say, you owe the church a lot of stuff. I'm not belittling the suffering that the black community went through with slavery. Please don't misunderstand me. My heart, I can't even imagine what that would have been like to have that history, to have your family go through that. It's heartbreaking and it's sin and it's wrong.
Right.
In that, I'm in total agreement. But to go back now historically and start asking every generation that did any people group wrong over throughout world history, Greg, it would never end. It would never end. You have multitudes of people groups all over the world that have been mistreated, and you just can't. What we have to do is start from right now and do the right thing from this point on.
You were sharing before we went on the air about other things happening around the world right now. ethnic tensions
in
France and all over. So it's not going to end.
Yeah, no, it's not. And so, and again, you know, we're going to, one of the things I want to make sure as we finish the show, I want to make sure that I'm not misunderstood and probably I'm going overboard, but I think in this day's environment, maybe I need to. Look, we stand with the black community or any community that has been treated unequally or wrong.
That's oppressed.
Absolutely. That's called being a Christian. That's called, you know, loving our brother and our sister. So we stand with that completely. What I'm saying is that when you start with all these different movements, trying to make everything right from everything that's happened throughout history, you're going to start down a road that's going to be hard to keep up with. Because truly, you could keep going down that path. And again, the Christians could go to Europe and demand what Rome did to them during that time. You could have all these other different groups demanding, I think of the what the Catholic Church did to so many people in the Middle Ages and all the reparations that need to be paid even to Christians then. You, of course, have reparations to the blacks, that community that went through slavery. And all that, again, in heart, I know that a lot of people mean well in that. And I'm not denying that maybe the good intent. I just think that it's misled in the sense that it's not going to bring about the resolution or the justice that many people think that it will. That only comes through Jesus Christ and loving one another in the name of the Lord. And then the Lord is going to make all this right in heaven. Listen, everything will be made right one day. You will be repaid for everything you've done. And those that have done you wrong will be repaid, but it'll be before Jesus in heaven.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Don't forget thesigns.org, as well as Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Stitcher to listen to this show and previous episodes all week long. And we'll see you back here next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times.